kind of ironic that so many churches have been really dealing with whether they should have services on Christmas morning, since church is conflicting with Santa Claus, and it's a tragedy. It really is to see, but it's the fulfillment of what we've been talking about, how secularism has crept into the church, how we begin to subtly begin to think like the world and place values upon the world's value system rather than the Word of God, and it manifests itself in so many different ways. I know of someone here was telling me their family members, the church got together and voted whether to have church on Christmas Eve rather than on Christmas morning, and the vote was overwhelming to have Christmas Eve rather than to conflict with Christmas morning. But you know, there's a lot of people who traditionally open their gifts on Christmas Eve. So really, we should then have Christmas Eve, so that there's no conflict, because the most important thing is family time. We've got to make sure that we're able to have what the world dictates to us, family values really are, and how they're to manifest themselves. Aren't you glad that you've been renewed in the spirit of your mind and you think like God thinks, and that Jesus' words actually carry life and wisdom and truth to us? When the Lord Himself said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers." Amen? Family time. Those who do the will of my Father. And so in today's society, you know, I was just at, we ran up to New York for a day and back, and we were able to make the midweek service at Times Square Church, and were there and had a good fellowship. But very similar, today they're meeting at 10 o'clock, but all other services are canceled throughout the day. Normally have four or five services and things that happen on Christmas Day, and they're canceled. And I just looked and thought, a church of that quality, it's a great fellowship, and what they've done, and what David's ministry was. But I just find it hard to believe that David would have done that, David Wilkerson. Maybe he would have, I don't know. The point I'm making is the call of God has been upon each of our lives as to who is going to be raised up in this generation. Amen? Who is it that's going to be free from this world's dictates and the cares of this world and the ideologies of this world? And so let's not just casually blow off this dilemma that so many people have been facing. And we look at it, and it's amazing today how many of the church services have been canceled. And say, well, that doesn't really affect us. It reveals the age that we're living in, the vexation that's in the world, and how much more we need to guard ourselves, and how much more we need to seek that separation to God. Amen? To be set apart wholly for God, that we could be the epistles in this hour read of men, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Because we're somebody special? No, because we're a people that have chosen to obey. It's by grace, amen, through faith. It's not of works. There's no boasting in it. We only do what the unprofitable servant does, and that's fulfill the will of his master. Thank God for that grace. Father, we come this morning and we thank you for that grace that you've worked in our lives. And Father, it's not a small thing as we look at this age that we're living in. And it's not a small thing as natural man struggles with all of the traditions and all of the secularism that surrounds us. This day is not taking us unawares. We're very aware of what's happening today in the world, in this community, in this fellowship. the onslaught of the spirit of Antichrist that would oppose what this day is all about. The recognition of your invading humanity and inserting your love into humanity in the person of Jesus. And Father, we so thank you, and we come to celebrate this day the great and unspeakable gift that you've given us in our redemption and in the person of Jesus Christ. And for that, Father, we say thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn over to Isaiah for a moment this morning, and we'll take just a little time and remind ourselves again of the great promises that God's given us. You know what Christmas is all about. And, you know, I heard someone classically say yesterday as I was walking, doing my walking in the mall, and there was a group of people that were standing talking, and as I was going by within earshot, I heard this one man say to the other, "Well, Merry Christmas." And tragically, a young teenager, maybe 13 or 14, his response was, "Oh, you can't say that in the mall." Isn't that sad? Where we've come? "Oh, you can't say that in the mall." And of course, we know you can't say it at school. As I was walking, coming by the school, it said, "Happy winter break." I'm getting tired of seeing spring breaks and winter breaks, amen? We understand what the whole educational system of America was founded upon. The schools were started to teach children to read so they could read the Word of God. The universities that were first founded were Bible colleges, training men of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Look where we've come in such a short time. And how we as the remnant of God need to be bold in this generation. Amen. I won't let it go. I happen to be in a couple of the stores and different things, and one gentleman, as he handed me the item, he said, "Happy holidays." And I said, "No, Merry Christmas." And this individual just kind of smiled and said, "Merry Christmas." Just to be able to remind people of the hour, amen? And Isaiah the prophet speaking to us reminds us of what the celebration is. This birth. This virgin birth. Amen? Hallelujah. We recited in our Christmas plays, our little children know the verses. But what an ingenious, miraculous occurrence took place on that day that Mary conceived. Amen? Think about it. God's great redemptive plan of man. In one man, Adam, all men died. As humanity passed on that sin nature. But the scripture is very clear in telling us that God, in this ingenious plan, invaded humanity through that little young lady, Mary. Blessed art thou, not above, among women. Would to God that we would have some of our young ladies at that same age, and we're not sure how old Mary was, but she was somewhere probably between 14 and 16 years old, that would rise up And regardless of what the natural perception of the world might be, would say, be it unto me according to your will. Amen? There are young ladies in here that can know that call of God in this hour. And know that same Holy Spirit that could come and indwell them. And though it wouldn't be a child that would be conceived within them, it would be that experience of the new creation. They would become a new being. Amen? Tragically, in our churches and in this church, too many of our young people grow up in religion and they're that religious, but not transformed, not recreated, not regenerated. Good kids, moral kids, obedient kids. But would to God that in many of our young children and in our youth, we would see transformation, praise God. A new hunger and a new appetite where old things have passed away and all things have become new. That there wouldn't be just an obedience, but there would be a hunger and an appetite for the things of God. I have meat to eat that others don't know. It's to do the will of the Father and to finish the work. The appetite to pray, the appetite to study the Word of God, to perform the call of God of intercessory prayer. To preach the gospel in the highways and the byways and be taken up with that more than the games and the secular fellowship and all of these other things that take place, but a hungry for true koinonia in this hour. Would to God that Christmas this year would affect us that way, to see what it is that took place on that great day. When God invaded humanity to become one of us, to become that sinless sacrifice. And the prophet prophesying this spoke very clearly in this hour. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we're all familiar with the verse, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Think about it. God with us. This holy God, and we already heard it referenced today in the utterance and the praise. But while we were sinners, he loved us. Amen? A holy God, with your sin and my sin being absolutely, totally offensive to him, loved us through that offense. Can you imagine? Just stop and think for just a moment. What is it in humanity today that offends you? What parts of fallen man offend you today? Some of us would say, well, you know, I'm offended by all of these lazy, no good people sleeping on the streets and taking my tax money. Others are offended by this generation of the dropouts of the pierced and tattooed, and you look at these young people and your heart breaks and they're tattooed up their necks and on their faces and implanting bumps in their heads and can you see the cry for purpose in life? The cry. Somebody look at me. Somebody love me. I'll do anything just to get attention and be recognized. Are you offended by that? Some of us offended by the cramming down our throats of the homosexuality and trying to make us accept it as normal and natural when God's word declares it what it is. It's sin. It's an offense to God. What offends you? What odors offend you? You know, you go to Africa like many of you have on a nice hot day and it starts reeking pretty bad, doesn't it? It's an offense. There's a commercial on, I don't even know what it is. These raccoons are going through the garbage. And this one raccoon tells the other one, oh, you gotta taste this, it's horrible. It's the worst thing I've ever eaten. It's a cross between, I don't even know what it was. It's like a cross between sardines and hair and whatever else. Come on, try it. Isn't it amazing when you taste something bad, you want somebody to taste it? Taste this. It's like, no, I'm not tasting that. What's offensive to you? How offensive was our sin to a holy God? How repulsed is this holy God? Pure, unique, separate from all that humanity and the natural has been affected by. And he takes the sin of every one of us upon himself. To do that, he had to become a man. He had to become Emmanuel. That great and genius plan of the Holy Ghost overshadowing Mary and the conception in that little child. A way in, if you please, to the human race without the curse of Adamic sin. Cool plan, man. And his name will be called Emmanuel. When they declared the great proclamation of that name that's above every name, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, Yeshua, salvation. Salvation just meaning completion or wholeness. God's original intent for man to be complete and have mature fellowship with him. To be able to renew those walks in the garden. What love our Father has for us that we should be called the sons of God. That's Christmas. That's the heart of God. And so much of the church finds it necessary to stay home and exchange gifts. John 3:16, probably the most known verse in all of the scriptures. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have eternal life. What a gift. What a great gift God has given us in himself. You know, the scripture's pretty clear, and as we see it over in Thessalonians, you know, it's a very, beautiful phrase. I like it. I've refer to it a lot, but we see the 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks unto God for his unspeakable gift. Think about that here this morning, his unspeakable gift. I don't know when you celebrate your family time, whether it was last night or sometime today. Some of you may have gotten up early this morning, I don't know. The ones that have younger kids. I remember when we were younger, man, we were up and ready to go, man, in the morning. Amen. It was a great time. I loved Christmas as a little kid. I was just trying to remember, I was telling Greer yesterday, there's two Christmases as a young person that stand out in my mind. Probably because they both had something to do with bicycles. But remembering some of those times of the gift opening and the excitement of that morning. Our family tradition was that we got to open one gift on Christmas Eve when the families got together. We would usually have the families that were close there, my grandparents, and my aunt had a couple of uncles and aunts that were in that area. So we would have like five family units together that would come together. And so on Christmas Eve, the children got to open one gift to keep us out of everybody's hair. And so there would be that. And then Sunday or Christmas morning, we would get up and everybody had what was their Santa Claus gift. It was the main gift that was unwrapped. So, you know, we understood that all of those other presents that were wrapped, you know, that our parents had gotten us, but Santa Claus brought that one overnight. It was never out. It was never exposed. And then there it was on Christmas morning. Santa had brought these particular gifts for us, and the excitement, that anticipation. And when we speak of this unspeakable gift, aren't you thankful that our young children now have a different anticipation on Christmas morning? And it's not limited to all of these particular gifts. We all know the paradox of the fact that we spend time and money and we wrap these things up and the kids dive in there and rip them apart and there's that special toy and they look at it and toss it and play with the box. Talking about those little ones. Are they that excited to understand what today's celebration really is? I'm sure you've made it real to them. If you haven't already, one of the things that we did with our children when they were smaller every year before we opened any gifts, we would always sit down and read the Christmas story. And to remind the children what Christmas was all about. A time of celebrating this unspeakable gift of God's love, of redemption for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life to us. Amen. What a great day Christmas is to celebrate that unspeakable gift of eternal life. Redemption having effected itself in our lives. This young child, this sinless offering that Isaiah 53 speaks of, that it pleased God to bruise him and to put sin upon him. Your sin, my sin. Corinthians, very clear. He was made sin with our sin that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. What more could we ask for on Christmas morning? Hallelujah. To be called the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate and we recognize what Christmas is really all about. You don't have to go as extreme as I did as a young person, you know. When our little ones were growing up, I was younger then. not all wise like I am today. But I would make comments, you know, about Santa Claus, and when we were out in the malls, you know, I would make comments about, you know, the tragedy of these fallacies and fantasies and fairy tales. Made sure that our children knew that Santa Claus was no different than the Easter Bunny or the fairy godmothers or whatever else there would be in the different fantasies that were out there. But being the type personality I was, of course, you know, one of the phrases I used, and you got to be careful what you say around your children, came back out. We went out to visit my parents. They went to the cost and trouble to hire a Santa Claus to come in. And as this Santa Claus came in, all of the other little children ran to him and, "Santa, Santa," and they're there and going on. And both of our kids were like... And so Grandma and Grandpa were, "Come on, kids, come on over and see Santa Claus." And they're kind of herding them over, and they're like, you know, getting pushed over. And next thing you know, they get a little closer. And they ask then Kimberly, they say, "Don't you want to sit on Santa's knee?" And she goes, "No, Santa's a rat fink." They will repeat your words. And so needless to say, you know, it was contributed to the harmony of Christmas there and all that was taking place. So we can get the message across probably in a better way, wouldn't you say? But still, that our children be raised up and understand and know how precious this day is and what Christmas is all about. And we teach them that, and we reiterate it, and they learn through every year's Christmas programs, the Christmas story. But the knowledge of what Christmas is about and understanding are two different things. The understanding aspect of it is, so with this gift, what is my responsibility now to use this unspeakable gift of sonship that's been given to me? How do I best, having freely received, freely give? And I think at Christmas that would be a good thing for us to teach, to become givers. And our children are good, and what a blessing this year that our young people went down to one of the homeless places and we're able to minister to some of the homeless. But you know, the homeless in America today, talking to one of those homeless people and in the process of trying to minister to them and their great need, they were talking about their timeshare in Massanutten. And the car that they had and were driving. And there's professional homeless today. And it's very interesting to see. In fact, it can be bring a great disillusionment if you're not careful. But there are genuine needs, aren't there? But the society that we're living in today, I mean, why would you work if you don't have other responsibilities? Right after they were fed, they know where to go to get the next meal after that. They know where they're going to sleep that night. The churches and secular institutions that have all of the beds lined up for them. I got sidetracked on that by talking about how our children had this opportunity to go and be givers. We've talked in the past, and I think some of you have done things along these lines, but to teach our children and say, you know, we might get one gift or whatever this year, but let's take those other gifts that we would normally receive and let's go give them to some children in need. Most of us here don't need a whole lot more, do we? God's blessed us. There's an abundance that we have. Thank God for it, as we've been studying, so long as it's not bringing death to us, distracting us. We know that you can never be satisfied with material things. A covetous heart will never be satisfied. But an opportunity for Christmas to be used as that aspect of giving, to remember that this is a spirit of giving. God so loved that He gave. So if it's not in material things, it's not going to rescue missions and handing out meals, how about the giving of that we've so freely received? The true understanding, the true partaking. You remember in the parable we were talking about, and they understood it not. In other words, they were not made one with it. It wasn't working itself in their lives. And so therefore Satan came immediately and took the word of God out. As our young people come to the understanding, they experience that recreation. There is genuine repentance and hatred for sin and a hatred for the old man. And the things that the world loves and the things that we used to love, the scripture says, we now hate. When we come to that place to be able to take the kids and say, now let's go out and share what we've so freely received, praise God. And this last year, we've probably done the best at that we've ever done as a fellowship. Tonight, we're going to take a little bit of time, and from each of the outreaches, we're going to take some opportunities just to share in these last few months what's been done. I mean, from everything from these rescue missions to stop and think for just a moment, to the literature that was handed out at the parades, to the rest homes. And there's some testimonies of lives being transformed in some of these rest homes, in the youth detention centers, in the prisons, praise God, on the streets. What a great year it's been. Amen. This has been a great year. I'm not sure that this hasn't been one of our best years ever here in the fellowship. And it's only the beginning. But how do we sustain that kind of a spirit? By remembering what Christmas is all about. Let's take one more scripture here and we'll look and allow the Lord to hopefully just refresh our hearts and to encourage us in all of these great things that God has done for us and done in our stead. The prophet goes on in Isaiah 9:6 and says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Luke comes in Luke 1, and as the angels reiterate this great truth, make the statement, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Think about that. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christmas. The gift of the Word of God to you and I. Living alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, the Word of God. Alive in us. And so as we go our ways this afternoon and spend time with our families and enjoy that time of celebration, there's nothing wrong with the secular and the celebration. It's a great time. It just all has to be in perspective, doesn't it? And so as you enjoy the families and whatever traditions you might have, one of our traditions I'm looking forward to right after service, going home, and on Christmas mornings we would always have a Christmas breakfast. It'll be brunch today. And it's interesting as you add families and different areas in that some of the traditions get, other areas are brought along from Greer's side of the family, Cindy's going to be bringing in these fabulous, it's like French toast, but it's more like eating cinnamon rolls, man. And it is good. Oh, good. And we have the long-standing tradition of my maternal grandmother back from the days when you just made do. And this casserole that for those days was an all out, man. I mean, it was, you know, it had meat in it. And it was great. And it is egg casserole and it has chunks of like bacon and sausage and the egg casserole. And I don't know what else is in it, but it's good. I can remember eating it as long as I can remember. This is sounding good. We're going to be done here in just a minute. Be ready to roll. From my dad's side, of course, the Georgia side of it, we're going to be having grits and eggs. But see, we eat grits and eggs different than a lot of people eat their grits and eggs. And we have nice over medium eggs and some grits that are just perfectly congealed to where they will flow but not runny. And then you have to chop it all up and make it turn it into chopping the yolk and the white, and everything gets in with the grits, and then you put it on a hot biscuit. Bow your heads, we're going to be mad. Our traditions and things that we can remember and enjoy. I told you as a young person that being raised as a pagan, all I knew about Christmas was the secular and how we as children would use the nativity scene as a roulette wheel. Gambling was real big in our family. We had people that were addicted to gambling and alcohol. Those two things don't go well together. And we as the children would wind up the nativity scene, and there was wise men, and one was in blue, and one was in green, and one was in red, and we would bet which color would show up. And that was Christmas. We had a great time in these different areas at Grandma's house. I can remember drinking my first hard liquor on Christmas Eve, as my grandfather thought it would be really nice to have a little Seagram 7 as part of the grandchildren's Christmas. That stuff just doesn't taste good, you know, at 10 years old. Here, try this. great Christmases, some great Christmases at Grandma's house I can remember in my mind right now. But here's where I was going with that story. How about the unspeakable gift being inserted for the first time into a young boy's heart at 8 years of old age and then being regenerated at 20 years of age? And eventually, after years and years of praying, that grandma who put on a lot of good Christmases for us children finally got to have her best Christmas at 100 years old as she accepted Jesus as her personal Savior. Isn't God good? This Christmas, having just spoken to my mother the other day and greeting her on Christmas over the holidays, and to think that here she is now, 92 years old. I sat with her last year. I shared with you that for the first time, she understood what justification was all about. I will never forget the look on her face. I will never forget the look on her face when justification became a reality to her. This woman who had given her child away, living with the torment of that all of her life, of many other areas that I won't speak toward, of scars and tragedies in life, and to watch the look on her face as she understood what justification was. You're not only forgiven, it never happened in the eyes of God. You're not only forgiven, you're innocent. You didn't commit the crime. It never happened. You're free because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Being freely justified by grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Christmases just keep getting better because we're able to share that unspeakable gift. Amen? I'm still believing for my brother. I'm still believing for my cousin. It's not over yet, praise God. And so as we close this morning, I just want to leave us with this thought. Isn't the greatest gift we can give any loved one this Christmas the story of God's unspeakable gift and love for us and what He means to us and what He's done for us? Freely you have received, freely give. Father, we thank You this morning for that great gift in our hearts and in our lives. We thank You for the grace to share it with authority and with compassion. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to go forth boldly in this hour. In a day when so much is secularized that we could bring it back to the real purpose of Christmas, God became flesh and dwelt among us. You came and invaded humanity and lived a sinless life and were that sinless offering and took the sin of the world upon Yourself and clothed us with Your righteousness. And for that, Father, we just come and say thank You. This morning we say thank You with all of our hearts. For the greatest gift that we could ever have this Christmas or any Christmas, our sonship, loved as sinners, adored as children of God, And for that, we give you all the praise and all of the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before we go this morning, turn to somebody next to you and say, what a great gift we have. Amen. Merry Christmas. You all have a good afternoon and enjoy one another.